Please turn to Luke 11, verse 14. We'll actually start our reading in Luke 11, 13, and that'll become clear a little later in the sermon. There's a particular way that connects. So Luke 11, 13, and we'll read through verse 26. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke. And the multitudes marveled, but some of them said, he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven, but he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. If I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse in the first. Well, it's that time of the year that we know as time for spring cleaning. And certain projects start to get done. Rugs get taken outside. Carpet shampooers get rented. And the drapes get taken down and laundered and things like that. Projects that have not been done in some time get done at this time of the year. And of course, cleaning and spring cleaning, maybe not specifically the spring part of it, but cleaning is a biblical concept. And in fact, we have a national obsession with cleaning. You can watch TV and see the, or even walk down an aisle in the grocery store and see the obsession that we have with keeping things clean with all these cleaning products that are available. Always something to do the job a little bit better, to make things a little bit more clean. If this product gets 99% of the germs out, my product gets 99.9% of the germs out, and on and on the list goes. Well, not only is our obsession with cleanliness shown in our advertising and products that we buy, but it's also shown in some of our TV programs. And some of you perhaps have seen the show. I've only seen it once, but it's a program that I thoroughly enjoy, the program Hoarders. And it's available. You don't even have to have cable. You can watch it right on your internet feed at home. And they trace, they go into these homes of, I guess you get kind of sold out by your kids or somebody who contracts with this Hoarders, and they come in and take footage, and there are these people just living in homes piled high with possessions. You can hardly walk through things that they have fished out of the trash or bought places or all sorts of other places, so that literally, you know, you in some of these homes, not only are there walls of trash on either side, but, well, trash is a relative term to these people. These are their treasures. And but actually, you have to walk over this stuff even to walk into different rooms of the houses. Well, that too, and those shows, and they show the, not only the original, but then the cleanup process as they bring in some cases, dump truck after dump truck, and load it up with this stuff as the hoarder looks on, or perhaps in some cases helps actually with the cleanup. Well, Luke 11:14 to 26 deals with the concept of cleanup in our lives. And it deals with that concept by presenting Christ as the one who is capable and able to bring cleaning to our lives. But one thing that the passage teaches us is that along with looking to Christ for our life to be cleaned up, we also need to look to Christ for the filling of our life that He brings. We want Him to not only clean up our life, but also to fill our life with worthwhile and valuable things. Christ not only can clean us up, He can not only free us, bring us freedom from our sin and clean up the sin in our lives, but He also brings filling to our lives to backfill those areas that had been filled with wickedness to now fill them with righteousness instead. And Christ is the one who is the strong man, who is the strong man, who's strong enough to bind Satan, to cast Satan out, to cast out the Lord of the house, which is actually the meaning of Beelzebub, the Lord of the house. Christ is the one who's strong enough to bind him and cast him out, and then in turn to fill the house with His good pleasure. And so, in that regard, our image of Christ, if you want to think of an illustration for this, you can think of that character, that TV salesman of cleaning products, Mr. Clean, who's a buff-looking gentleman who's strong enough to help you clean up your house. And of course, we aren't saying that Mr. Clean is a actual picture of Christ in any way, shape, or form. This is not an icon of what Jesus actually looks like. But Mr. Clean and his function of cleaning up is a representative to us of Christ and His work of bringing cleaning. Well, that was, of course, part of the ministry of Christ, was to bring a cleaning to people. And we see that once again here as He casts out this demon who was mute. And the impact of the muteness of the demon was that this person also had been unable to speak as well. And so when Jesus casts out the demon out of this man who could not speak, the man is now able to speak and to communicate, and the multitudes marveled. Now, it's important to remember Jesus had done a lot of miracles, remember, earlier in the book of Luke, and those miracles had been done in the north of Israel, around the Sea of Galilee and the communities surrounding that small lake there. And now, later on in Luke, remember, Jesus has begun His trip down and has traveled down into the regions of Judea, the regions around Jerusalem. And so, for many of these people, and that's not to say that the apostles who had seen miracles up in Galilee wouldn't have also still been amazed at the power of God, but for this group of people, this would have been some of the first miracles, and perhaps the very first miracle that they had seen Christ perform, and so they marvel. But notice how Luke's focus here is not primarily on the miracle itself. Because in the flow of the book of Luke, Luke's already established the power and authority of Christ. He's already gotten the apostles and also us as the readers to the point of saying, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the great confession of Peter. And now it's as if the power aspect of Christ's ability to cast out the demons is more taken for granted. It's just sort of assumed and written there in the first verse. Instead, what Luke really wants to highlight in this miracle is what? What he's really highlighting is the opposition that Christ is facing. And that fits with where the book of Luke is going, of course, where this is headed to the cross. And the opposition that's gathering, the storm clouds, if you will, that are gathering on the horizon for Jesus Christ. And so we find Christ confronted here with unbelief. And this unbelief, this particular unbelief, says that the strong man, Jesus, that Mr. Clean, in fact, is no different than any other cleaner. That he cleans just like anyone else. And the unbelief is expressed by the parallel accounts in Matthew and Mark tell us that this unbelief is expressed by the Pharisees, by the teachers of the law. And they express their unbelief in three distinct ways. The first way is they ascribe what Christ has been doing or is doing to the demonic. Verse 15. You're casting out demons, but it's by the power of Satan. You're actually channeling Beelzebub. You're channeling Satan in your warfare against the demonic. There's also a challenge of unbelief in verse 16, that, okay, fine, you can deal with demons, but show us a sign from heaven. We want a heavenly sign. This thing of dealing with demons, that's just an earthly sign. That can be the forces of darkness. We want to see something else. Something that's clearly has you on the good guy's side, so to speak. And then their unbelief is lastly expressed in the fact that they want to say, well, our sons can do this too. Remember when Moses comes back and begins performing the 10 plagues in Egypt. In the early ones, Pharaoh says, well, what's the big deal? My magicians can do this same thing. We know how to do these sorts of things also. And it's as if the Pharisees are channeling Pharaoh here and saying, look, our sons can do this too. And in fact, history does record, for instance, in Josephus, about exorcisms that did, in fact, take place at this point in time. And we can even think of David when King Saul was on the throne and how Saul would be afflicted by the demons and David would go and play music for him and bring some relief to Saul from those demonic forces. Interestingly enough, it's interesting to think about what these exorcisms consisted of, because in light of verse 24, the unclean spirits going out of a man goes through dry places seeking rest. It's as if these exorcisms were based on harassing and hounding the demon to death somehow and bothering him so much that he just wants to get out of the person and leaves the person. And so Christ is confronted here with unbelief that says, Jesus, your power is nothing special. It's either dark power or it's the same power that even our sons can do. What's the big deal here? We see the same opposition to the work of Christ today. Not maybe so much in that people in our community would say that the church is helping people through the power of Satan. I don't think we deal with that particular accusation a lot. But what we do hear from people is the church is just another self-help organization. And it's just the self-help organization that works for you. And if something else works for me, well, that's fine. The church doesn't fit in with what I want to do. It's just another organization to help people. Another, brainwashing tool to help people deal with problems in their life. And if that's what works for you, that's fine. But that's not what works for me. And people dismiss the power of Christ, the power of God to work and to actually bring cleaning to people's lives. And it's actually a reason why, because of these accusations. It's a reason why it's important that the church actually minister not just in the name of Christ, but in connection with the power of Jesus Christ. That this is not just a self-help organization, self-help in the name of Jesus. It's actually a Christ-helping people body. And that we make sure that our efforts are in accord with His power and with what He has commanded and what He has given. And that our efforts are clothed in prayer for His power and His authority to accompany what we are doing. So that we might see real heart change, not just self-help. And so, this unbelief is, Christ is confronted with this unbelief, isn't He? You clean up just like anyone else. You're no different than any other person who's casting out demons. Maybe even worse, because you're using the power of Satan to do it. And Christ responds by pointing out that His cleaning not only is not based on the power of Satan, but it's actually based on truly defeating Satan. In response to the charge that his casting out of demons is demonic, what does Christ say? Well, verses 17 and 18, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? If Satan's at war against Satan, it's not gonna, his kingdom won't last. And, some of you know who the Bull Moose Party is. The Bull Moose Party originated because, William Taft and Theodore Roosevelt could not get along. And Theodore Roosevelt decided that he didn't like the idea of Taft being the Republican candidate for president. And so he would start his own party, the Progressive Party, the Bull Moose Party, and run against Taft. And what did that lead to in that presidential election? Well, it led to the greatest electoral landslide to date, when Woodrow Wilson was elected, just in an absolute landslide, because those two men had fought against each other and divided the political party. They divided the House. And you can think about other kingdoms that have crumbled through people not being able to get along. Alexander the Great, when he died and his generals go to war with each other and they can't get along over how to split things up. And kingdoms crumble on this basis. And Christ is saying, look, if Satan, this is a basic principle. If Satan is warring against Satan, if Satan's sending a prophet to drive out the people, the demons out of people who are controlled by Satan, then his kingdom's over. It's ruined. And so Christ dismisses their unbelief in that regard and says, look, I'm not on Satan's side. I'm clearly fighting against Satan. He goes on then to point out verse 19, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. Christ answers their second objection that, look, our sons do the same thing by turning the argument around on them, right? And saying, look, if you say that I'm doing this by the power of Satan, if that's why you think I'm able to drive out demons, then who makes your sons able to drive out demons? And basically, you're being hypocrites. You're playing favorites. You're saying, when your kid does it, It's a bad thing. When my kid does it, it's cute and nice. Right? We've all experienced those situations. When your kid does it, it's lousy. It's terrible. They need to be disciplined. When my kid does it, it makes me smile and laugh. And Jesus says, hold on here. Which way do you want it? Your sons will be your judges. But then he points, not only, those are more kind of negative reasons, right? Why they should believe that his casting out of demons actually is from heaven. You know, that it doesn't make sense that it be from Satan. Your sons are doing the same thing. But then positively, he points out that there's power demonstrated here that demonstrates this is something from heaven. If I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. He's saying, don't ask for a heavenly sign, because it's clear that I've already done a heavenly sign. And I'm doing this through the finger of God. If you look at the parallel text, it's very clear that the finger of God, and actually that the in passages that talk about the hand of God and the arm of God, are actually referring to the power of the Holy Spirit and the action of the Holy Spirit. And one of the parallel texts here actually says, Christ says, if I do these things by the Holy Spirit, then it shows that the kingdom of God has come upon you. And Christ here is arguing, and it was obvious to everyone, that there's a qualitative difference between the way that he casts out demons and the way that anyone else of that era was casting out demons. We don't know all the details of what went on in their exorcisms, but it seems pretty clear from history that they were kind of long, drawn-out affairs with, you know, numerous steps and things like this, whereas Jesus is able to, with one word, you know, come out of him, which actually is one word, well, two words in the Greek. Ekbalo, come out, get out of there, right? And Jesus is saying there is a qualitative, obvious difference between what I am doing and what you are doing as I cast out demons with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a sign from heaven. And once again, that needs to be true of the ministry of the church. As the church helps people clean up their lives, that it's clear that we're not just offering another self-help program. And it needs to be true in our own lives, as we seek to bring change to our lives, as we seek to help others change, as we seek to help our children change and grow, that this is not just another self-improvement program, but that this is done through prayer and through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that it's Christ who has the strength to make this happen. And Christ then builds on this by giving this great illustration of, look, if you have a strong man guarding his house, he's got all his weapons, he's got all his swords and spears and shields, and he's all geared up to defend his house, and a weakling comes along to take away all his stuff, can the weakling break into that house and conquer his house? No, he can't. Because the strong man will defend his turf. He's not going to let the weakling come in and take his stuff. He's going to chop off his head with his sword. But Christ says, I've come as the one who can defeat Satan. As the one who does have authority. As the one who can bind the strong man. And I'm the one, verse 22, the stronger than he, who's coming and going to divide up the spoils. Ephesians talks about this, and also Psalm 68, when it talks about that Christ came and led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He came and defeated Satan, the one who held captives captive. And he defeated him and parades him now as the one who has been conquered. And so Christ is declaring here, I'm stronger. I'm Mr. Clean. Satan cannot stand up against me. Because all authority is mine. And that's a pretty great promise. That's a pretty great truth just to that point. That Christ is able to clean that which otherwise is unable to be kept clean. That which was unable to be fixed. That which was unable to be rescued. Christ is able to clean. Christ is able to conquer that which is otherwise unconquerable. But Christ is not done yet in this passage. One of the sad things about watching that program, Hoarders, is the fact that it's pretty clear in many of these cases, just as they interview the hoarder himself, it's pretty clear in most of these cases that without some other major change, this person will be right back where they were, where they are. You know, they'll be right back with a house full of junk within a few years. Because the pattern hasn't been broken. The real problem of the hoarder is not the stuff. Right? It's maybe fear that overwhelms them. It's insecurity that has them all wrapped up. It's materialism in some cases. And because the program deals with the garbage in the house, that's nice, but because it doesn't deal with the garbage in the heart, the person really is doomed without additional help to be right back to where they started before the program even came. And that's what Christ talks about in verse 24 and following. Christ not only brings healing, not only does he clean up, but he also brings filling to your life. Right? It's not enough, verses 24 and following, it's not enough just to cast out the spirit and the evil spirit, the demonic, and to clean up the place. Because in this regard, demons function a little bit like frat boys. They trash the place. You know, the demon trashes the place, and then he leaves. But then if he finds out that somebody else came in and cleaned it up, now he'll come back with all his frat boy demon friends and trash the place again, and it'll be worse than it was the first time. Because he gathers up a group of guys, right? This group of demons to come and have a demonic party, if you will, in the now more cleaned up soul of this person. And you see that in self-help stuff all the time. Somebody cleans up one area of their life, but in some ways it just empowers them to be more of a tyrant, more sinful in their approach in other areas of their life. They haven't really addressed the heart of the issue at all. Christ here, in declaring his cleanup project, is not just calling people to be empty of demonic forces. He's not just removing sin from people. But as verse 23 makes clear, Christ is calling us to something beyond just a neutral cleanup. Right? You don't just go from this hoarder-filled house to now a spotless clean house, but Christ actually wants to fill the house. Fill the house with His treasures. Fill the house with His Holy Spirit. And He's the one who has the power to do that. That's why we read verse 13. The Father can give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Christ is calling us not only to be cleaned up, but to actually be filled with Him. To be with Him. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. Chris is referring to the great principle of Scripture that there is no neutrality under the gospel. You're either with me or you're against me. And if you're against me, just cleaning up some aspects of your life does not fix the problem. You have to actually be filled with the Spirit. You have to be about my kingdom business, is what Christ is saying. He who does not gather with me scatters. Come, gather with me. Be filled with the Spirit. And Christ is concerned not just to bring forgiveness of sins, but actually also to bring lives of righteousness to His people. Right? Christ is not only concerned with your justification, not only concerned with declaring you righteous, but also concerned with making you righteous. It's a rough paraphrase of John Owen, actually. Christ is not just concerned with declaring us righteous, but with actually making us righteous. And sanctification is that process where Christ not only removes our sin, but actually replaces it with righteousness. And not just removes the effects of sin, but actually defeats the dirt in our lives. And builds a perimeter, if you will, around us so that we are protected. In this regard, Christ is not just like Mr. Clean that brings cleanliness to us. But He also is like those things you drop in the toilet tank that keep the toilet bowl clean. He's like Scotch, the Scotch Guard fabric stuff that keeps the stain from even happening. Stop the dirt before it even starts. He's like the Orkin man, right, who comes in and not only will he kill the bugs in your house, he's going to create a perimeter around the house so that the bugs don't even come in. That's what Christ is talking about. And this is a cleanup that we really need. Not just a getting rid of all the junk that we hoard in our hearts. Right? All the cesspool of garbage that we collect in our hearts. Not just getting rid of that, but Christ actually comes and fills us. And the New Testament talks about that over and over again. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the fruits of the Spirit. Jesus Christ has come to give you the cleaning and the filling that you really need. And then in response, our response from verse 23 is to ask ourselves the question, what am I filling my life with? Am I just full of basic self-help where I just get rid of bad habits? Or am I being filled with the Word of God, with the Spirit of God? Am I filling my life with prayer, with love for God's people, with service to others? Am I being filled with the fruit of the Spirit? Because if you're not being filled with the power of Christ, you're just using church to get rid of bad habits, to bring a certain level of cleanness to your life. The reality is, as verse 26 tells us, you'll end up worse than you started. If you just do the cleaning without having the corresponding filling and sanctification through the Holy Spirit, you'll end up with more junk hoarded in your heart than what you started out with. Jesus Christ comes not only to clean up all the junk that we've hoarded, but also to fill us with something worth living for. And that's something that He gives you that's worth living for, that He fills you with. It's the opportunity to live for Him. The opportunity to serve Him. And so people of God look to Christ as Mr. Clean, as the one who can clean up your life, but also as the one who can fill your heart with truly good things. Let's pray. We thank You, Jesus, for Your care and concern for us. And we praise You that You not only have the power and authority to bind the strong man who would hold us captive to sin, Lord, not only have You defeated him, but Lord, You also have filled us with Your Spirit. And Lord, we ask that we would walk by the Spirit so that we will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Thank You for sending Your Spirit among us. Thank You for filling us with Your presence. Help us to live it out, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.